everybody, and welcome to tonight's exciting episode, I think it's 35. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah,
Yeah, 35. 35 divided by werewolves. I had it. I looked it up beforehand, but then mid-spit, I lost confidence. And that's what happens. You can't. I would not be a good battle rapper, because mid-spit, I'd be like, oh, shit, what was I going to say? God damn it, never mind. Can we start over?
Oops.
Thank you. No, that's perfect. That's exactly what we need right now, is a rapper.
Yep. It is 35.
Perfect. And it's the week before Thanksgiving, which means before Black Friday, when you can, apparently the way to buy a console is to wait 3 years, and then you can get them for like a nickel on Black Friday. Which is fine, you know, no problem.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I kind of knew that going into things. But Jesus Christ, like, I don't remember it. I mean, I know it's been a minute. It's been 3-4 years, right? But,
yeah.
I mean, they're cheap. Like,
yeah.
I mean, cheap being a relative term, but.
Right. Well, two things for the Xbox. Like, Microsoft is asking us this year to buy a third Xbox. So it only makes sense to heavily discount the second Xbox they expected us to buy.
Which is an Xbox that works for, what, 90% of people who would want an Xbox?
Exactly. And that's the other thing. It's like, they're still trying to talk people into wanting to own an Xbox.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, yeah. $189, sure, you can have one. They'll get two. That's fine.
Take two, they're small. Yeah. So Justice League is a couple days.
Ooh.
The reviews so far have not been...
I said, ooh. That was my excited sound. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my hand, too. I can't wait.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I asked my son. I was like, you know, do you want to go to see Justice League? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. And then he's never seen Batman vs. Superman. He's seen Man of Steel, but he hasn't seen Batman vs. Superman. So I was like, okay, well, I said, I don't know, you know, kind of how, you know, what your expectations are, because you haven't seen the last one. And I think, you know, your expectations of this one would in some ways be colored by how you felt about the last one.
I think so, like expectation wise, but from what I'm hearing, people are going to be pleasantly surprised if they go into it with an open mind and don't.
Oh no! What I read, I didn't hear anything that I was like, oh no! I was like, okay, you know,
yeah.
I don't see anything that I'm just like, you know, that's. I mean, I read some things that I was like, well, that sounds kind of unfortunate in some of the choices they made, but I, you know, because I was talking to my wife about it, and she was like, are you going to take Ben to see Justice League? And I said, well, that depends on the reviews. And she's like, why? And I was like, well, if the reviews suck, then I don't know if I would want to spend more than just my money. She's like, yeah, but you can't tell him that. You can't be like, if the review, sorry, these reviews suck, but I'm going to pay for me to see it. I said, I don't want to encourage them to keep making bad choices. She didn't really agree with me on that one, but I was like, look, I said, here's the way it's going to work, is that, like, if the reviews suck, then I would just kind of find a time to go see it that maybe has less impact kind of on the family outings, whereas if it was something that was good, I would make more of an effort to be like, okay, Sunday afternoon, we're going to go. So then, you know, finding out that it was supposed to actually be, you know, decent, or, you know, depending on who you read, I was like, okay. So she understood that, but, you know, I was like, you know, it's different. Like, if a movie sucks, then I'm not going to be like, okay, let's waste a whole afternoon on it. I would just kind of figure out, you know, when would be best for me to go.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to kind of see how it goes. I rewatched Wonder Woman recently, and I mean, that still, you know, that's my high bar. I put that one, you know, up against the Marvel movies. I don't know, for me, there's no distinction. I still think I wished that when you finally realized who Ares was, I wished they had gone with a different actor to be God Ares, because I was just like, you're just a British dude. Like, nothing against British dudes. British dudes are great, but you're Professor Lupin from Harry Potter, and you don't, you know, even when you had been cast down from Olympus, you're still that guy. And then, you know, I thought the ending was a little too, you know, kind of CGI-ish, but...
Video gamey is how I read it. Described. So, and it's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I still think, like, you know, the whole scene with Steve at the end, the way that whole thing played out, I thought was fantastic. Like, they could have done that a lot of different ways, and I think they did it in a way that, you know, really got across, you know, kind of the gravity of the whole situation. And, you know, I just thought it was a really great movie. But so, you know, I don't expect nothing against, you know, it's not a DC thing for me. It's a Zack Snyder thing for me. Like, I'm not as big a fan of his films as I think other people are. And so it's not that I don't have any confidence in him. I just, you know, the choices that he would make are not necessarily ones that I would make, you know, if I were making a movie, which is something I know fuck all about. But I am super excited to see, you know, kind of the Jason Momoa Aquaman, because I just love the idea of, you know, the Aqua Bro, like the John DiMaggio Batman, Brave and the Bold Aquaman. I just fucking love it. I love it.
Yeah. You know, that's the perfect characterization for him for me.
Yeah. Me too. Because, you know, we already have, like, Namor, you know, kind of has the. Namor already has the whole haughty Atlantean thing, like, locked up, right? So, you know, unfortunately for most people, they just remember Aquaman from the Super Friends.
Super Friends.
They're like, oh, you could talk to fish? And he's like, no, I can't. I mean, yes, but that's – I'm more than that. You know, so to kind of make him this, well, I don't give a shit about, you know, whatever they're called. You know, Flatlanders or whatever. I don't know what the fuck they're called. It's not Flatlanders. He's not B.O.B. like, the earth is round. Whatever. You know, to kind of have him be that guy, to me, is just a repeat of something we've kind of already seen.
Yeah.
Like, I like, you know, the idea. Like, if you were the guy, if you were Aquaman, like, shit, that would be fucking great, right? Like,
exactly.
Shit, I'd be all over that. I could breathe underwater, and I'm fucking pumped, and my wife's a hot redhead, and you know, what's not to like? So why not, you know, play him as that type of dude? And I liked the Jason Momoa Conan movie, even if it was just kind of okay. Like, I mean, that was PG-13, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Right.
I mean, there just no fucking way. Just no. Like, Conan the Destroyer, Conan the Barbarian.
Right, and it was the...
Do any of those adjectives, like, sound like something that would be PG-13?
Right.
Oh, well, he's a very tame destroyer.
Well, and the other thing is... Right. The other thing is, like, they had the perfect guy, in my opinion, to do the movie, Marcus Nispel, because holy shit, man, that's, you know, this is a guy that did the Texas Chainsaw 03, the Friday 13th remake whatever the fuck it was. Like, he knows how to do hyperviolence, and he is a fucking wizard with a camera. Like, he did that shot in Texas Chainsaw 03 where the girl, the hitchhiker commits suicide. And the camera pulls back through the hole in her fucking head.
Oh, right.
I mean, my God, man. Imagine a Conan movie with shit like that going on.
Right.
But you take that guy and you neuter him? Like, why even bother?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I did read that the runtime was under 2 hours.
Yeah, that was a mandate, apparently, from
Warner Brothers. Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I mean, and that's not a DC thing for me. That's just a thing.
Like, yeah.
It's also, like, to me, it's interesting to see kind of, you know, this whole Ben Affleck thing with, like, well, is he gonna keep being Batman or not? I mean, I don't really understand that. Like, in some cases, it seems like he definitely wants to be Batman, but then in other cases, he's like, nah, I'm good. So
yeah.
Let's see. So what are you playing these days? I haven't really.
Well, I started Prey finally.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I've had it for months. It's one of those things, like, I've gotten to be that guy, and I was never that guy before. I would never do what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would always have one thing that I'm playing, and I don't buy other shit. Like, I might pick up, you know, a digital, you know, I still call them arcade titles because I'm still stuck in 360 mentality, apparently.
Oh, like an indie or whatever?
You know Yeah, just, you know, something, $5-$10, whatever, to fuck around with when I don't feel like or I don't have time to put a couple hours into whatever I'm playing. And I've never been a big backlog guy, and now I am. So I've got so many things sitting here that I've yet to put in, even put in a system. Mm-hmm. But I finally, I put Prey in because I'm like, you know, Destiny 2, yes, I still play it almost every day. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten to the point to where I'm ready for that DLC, man.
Me too.
Like, I've done flashpoints on all those planets so many fucking times.
Yes.
And speaking to that today,
I do want to get more into that when you're done. But go ahead.
My God, finally today, I managed to get one character to 305.
I am so. Can I tell you how close I am? I'm at 302. Most of my gear is at 305, except for my Mita multi-tool, which is fucking hanging around at like 295. I cannot get a goddamn submachine gun to drop at like 300 to save my life.
Yep.
But I'm right there with you. I am exactly there with you when it comes to Destiny. But go ahead about Prey, because I'm glad you mentioned it.
Prey. So I started watching you play it, and, you know, I knew I would play it eventually, so it's one of those ones where I didn't watch every stream and I didn't watch every episode that you uploaded to the channel because I knew and I didn't want, you know, spoilers or whatever.
I did upload anything, to be perfectly honest.
There's, I think, 4 or 5 episodes.
Really? That hit,
Yeah.
I've been so bad about uploading. I've totally forgotten.
Well, the only reason I remember you uploading some, but I didn't know how many, but like yesterday or the day before, I went and looked because I was curious to see sort of where you stopped versus where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I watched you. I know I watched the first stream, but, you know, there's not a lot that happens in the first hour or so.
It's just me going, ah!
Right.
Over and over and over.
Right. But I still, in my brain, it was an action game. It wasn't survival horror. Mm. And so that's sort of, I think, why I kept putting it off, because, like, oh my God, man, I have so many games that fit that bill. And, you know, I know this one has nothing to do with the first Prey. The first Prey I thought was just okay. And I know this is a totally different thing, but still, I was just like, I'll get to it.
Right.
But, man, I'm all about it. Like,
really?
I'm all into it, man. Like, I'm digging the story. Like, I want to know what the fuck happens. I like the fact that I have no ammunition ever. And
I hate it.
I know you do.
Like, yeah.
That whole Resident Evil thing where I'm not supposed to live through this and I have to still try, like, that's my shit. I love that.
Yeah.
So,
no sir.
Had I known it was this, then I would have gotten into it way before now. But I am really enjoying it.
Well, that's good. I mean, for me, it was I don't like survival horror, like, at all. Like, not even a little. So, you know, when I didn't real, I thought it was going to be more like a System Shock type of thing. So I was like, okay, like, it's a scary, you know, whatever. It's a scary, like, space station. Like, that's cool. But then once they started, like, seriously, you know, kind of limiting your shit, I was like, oh, God, no. I have no. And so I glitched everything to totally fuck up the game's economy. And I was like, you know what?
I forgot about that.
Like, I am totally fine by that. And I'm sure the people who made the game would not be as fine with it as I was. But, you know.
Right.
But that's even been, then, you know,
it's been patched.
Even then I just was like, I don't care. Like I kind of played it some more, and I don't know if, like, more stuff came out. I don't really remember kind of what kind of led me to play more, you know, not play it as much or at all anymore. But something else must have come up is all I can think of. But I give it, the environments are cool, and, you know, the enemies are definitely cool, but and the upgrades are cool, but I just hate this whole idea of having to choose. Like, I know that's terrible, and that goes against the kind of everything that the game is about, but, you know, it is what it is.
Sure.
But I'm glad you like it. So how far are you in it?
I don't know. It's hard to say, man, because most people say, oh, you'll get through it in 8 to 10 hours.
I don't think so.
And I'm at a little over 8 hours, and I don't feel like I'm close to the end yet.
I was going to say, I think that if you get through that game at 8 to 10 hours, if you're playing it, like, on some super easy difficulty, or you're just trying to blaze through without really, like...
Because I'm playing on... I always play on normal, so I'm on normal, and I don't know. I feel like I'm maybe halfway, maybe a little further, but not definitely not towards the end yet.
Yeah.
But I hope I'm not towards the end yet, because I'm enjoying it, so I want it to keep going. So.
Right. But no, I mean, speaking of Destiny, so, like, I have a friend at work, and we've been talking about it, and he's still, like, in the 280s or 270s. I was like, oh, I remember those times.
Yeah.
When, like, there was shit to do.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, I traveled, but even, and this is what fucking kills me about it, like, I traveled, I was gone, I didn't get back till Thursday night, Friday night, there I was, fucking doing all the weekly reset stuff. I was like, okay, we got to do it.
Yep.
And then I wasn't going to do it this week, and then there I was last night and this morning. And then here's what bothers me. Like, I got two exotic Engrams. I got one from, I think it was a Crucible match, but I don't remember. And then the other one just, no, I found, yeah, and then the other one I got when I turned in, you know, like a milestone thing.
Yeah.
I was not excited. Because I was like, well, they're probably going to be dupes. They were both dupes.
Yeah.
Now, granted, one of them was a higher version. Both of them were higher versions of something I already had. So, you know, good for me, I guess.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, there was a time when you got an exotic, and that was something to be, like, excited about.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, horribly disappointed when it turned into armor for a class you don't play. But but here I was like, yeah, whatever. I mean, okay, great. And I mean, I think part of it, too, is, you know, when what you're looking for is to try to get to a certain rank, actually exotics kind of work against that because I don't want to have to equip it. I mean, it's great that they did the system where you just have to have it in your inventory to affect other drops. But in terms of, like, getting you to that number, like, I got my Mita multi-tool and I just was like, okay, you know, all right. And I just kind of, I do the weekly reset because it's just a thing that I do.
Yeah.
But I'm the same as you. I'm like, man, I need some, like, I want a reason to do strikes again.
Yeah, no shit, man. Strikes are obsolete.
I love doing strikes.
Yeah, I did too, but there's what, six? And you get, sure, they pop a chest full of Engrams, but they're all what you have or lower.
Right.
Which is pointless.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Absolutely. So, you know, I really hope, like, when I read the stuff, you know, that they were going to be doing for the, you know, kind of moving forward and how they were going to be changing the economy of things and making, you know, different, you know, making the end game have more to do. I was like, okay, good. Because right now, you know, they definitely push things too far in the opposite direction from the first one.
Absolutely, man. I don't know. It's crazy to me that as old as the game is, it's not that old.
No.
And it's essentially in a lot of
people's
eyes, it's already dead.
Yeah.
Which is insane. When you look at how the first one had legs, even as broken and as everybody hated it or whatever, people still kissed it.
But that's the thing I think people have to remember, though, is when you look at how Destiny 1 was compared to how Destiny was right at the end, like, they listened, they made a lot of changes. So by no means am I like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to trade it in and be done with it.
Right, that would be, not at all.
That'd be silly. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you do kind of go, well, it would have been, like, I understand the changes they made and why they made them. You know, you just kind of wish that, you know, they kind of could have looked a little forward and gone, well, wait a minute, like, what is this going to mean, though, once people get to the end,
right?
So but yeah, I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm still playing Wolfenstein, and that game, Jesus Christ, like, talk about a fucking roller coaster. That game is crazy. Like, it's just crazy. Like, shit happens in that game and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and I won't spoil it, especially, you know, there's certain things that happen in that game where I genuinely are just like, I did not see that coming. Like, there is no way.
No, yeah, I don't want to interrupt.
A reasonable person could have seen that coming.
That happened. Like, thank God, because generally when you stream and then I watch, what I do is I bring you up on the MacBook and then I'm watching hockey or
right
on my television. Like, and so I was watching you stream and something happened on the TV and it, like, the game was in a cutscene, and I was watching the hockey game and I hear from the MacBook, oh shit, no. And I was like, oh, close the lid.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
So I almost saw something. Thank God something happened in the game that caught my attention.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely right. And that's, you know, I mean, like, I haven't put stuff in the YouTube channel for it just because, you know, I think most of the people watch our stuff streaming. But also, man, there's so much, like, I think this is the type of thing, a type of game where I think it's better. Like, I think, like, I love having people watch me stream it, but I it's almost like the best. The best people to have watch stream it, the people who have already played it and can,
right.
and can sit back and go, oh yeah, I remember this part, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm, you know, still playing Super Mario Odyssey, and that game is fucking great. Like it's just great. And here's the thing about the Switch, man. Like, I played Skyrim and I just thought it was okay. And I was like, well, shit, I'll play Skyrim on the Switch. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you got every achievement in that game, and towards the end, you hated it. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, there is no reason for you to, but I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
that would be another good one for me to stream because I fucking hated it.
Oh God.
I bought it because everybody was like, oh, you got to play it.
Yeah. I got every achievement in it too. Every
No, I played
one.
It for an hour. Yeah.
So, you know, for one of those things, it was like, all right, well, I'd like to see just from a technical perspective, how it looks, how it plays. I don't really care about the game, but I thought, well, shit, I could rent it. You know, I could play it for a couple hours and you know, and maybe it's one of those things when you're just kind of dicking around, you know, you fucking run around wherever the hell it is and just, you know, kill dragons. You know, probably not. I have plenty of other games, that I could just go ahead and play. But, you know, from a technical, and there's a lot of games coming out on the Switch that I really would, you know, like to play, like the Batman, the Telltale series that's out on the Switch. I was like, shut up. Well, that's perfect.
Yeah.
There's that Axiom Verge, which is like a Metroid.
Yeah. I want to play that.
I'll play that. I don't know if I would play LA Noire again because that was such an empty open world game.
Yeah.
That I don't know if I would care. Plus, I think I remember reading that you have to have like an SD card because it needs to.
It won't fit.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of other games, and then there's still the DLC for Breath of the Wild, and then I have the Horizon Zero Dawn. So I'm like, I got plenty of stuff, and then the Okami. The remaster comes out.
Right.
I was like, shit, I'll play that again. Like, no questions asked. Just straight up, yep, get it, pop it in, play it again.
Never played that one.
That's a great game. Yeah, it's a great game. It's like a Zelda game, but it's not Zelda.
Gotcha.
I had rented Need for Speed Playback. Or not Playback, Payback.
Payback.
Need for Speed Playback. Rewind.
That's some more apt titles.
Yeah, right. Payback. And then I kept reading reviews that were like, this game sucks. And I was like, what do they know? And so I was going to play it. And then I read another review, like the Rock, Paper, Shotgun review. And I was like, holy shit, this game sounds horrible. So, you know, my dream of living in a Fast and Furious movie.
Sure.
You know, I want Tyrese Gibson to be mad at me.
Right.
I am going to be in a spinoff. I want to be called a candy ass. I think I could take over. No one could take over for Paul Walker, but if they want a middle-aged white guy with no driving skills in a 16-year-old Toyota Highlander that smells vaguely of moldy Cheez-Its, Vince, come on. Come on, brother. Come on, baby. Hook a brother up. You know, ride or die. I know them all. I'd be a perfect fit. Absolutely. And Ludacris and I could commute because he's from here.
True. Yeah, it's true.
We would cut on production costs. So anyway, I had hoped that Need for Speed Payback was like Need for Speed Fast and Furious, and then it was basically like, well, I think to you it is because it sucks, but...
Yeah.
For most people, it's like Need for Speed, Too Fast, Too Furious.
So I was like, all right, well, I guess I won't play it. And what I said to my wife was, in the spring, if I have nothing to play and I want to play a shitty racing game, I'm pretty sure it'll still be here.
Oh, yeah, it's not going anywhere.
And then Battlefront 2, it's kind of disappointing to hear about that, how the economy of that game just seems so fucking broke.
Yeah, man, I'm so tired of hearing about it at this point. It's like, you know, all right.
I thought it was out. Like, I was like, wait, it's not even out yet? Jesus Christ.
That's the thing. And it's stupid because, like, everybody's getting bent out of shape. Nobody fucking played the first one. So it's like, why get upset?
Nobody played the first Battlefront?
No. Like, everybody was so excited for it and the trailers and this and that. And then it comes out and all you hear from reviews is how there's no content and this and that.
That's right, because it had no single player.
Right. And so everybody was done with it in a month. And, like, I shit you not, because I bought it full price on both systems. And nobody ever played it. And it was like by a month in, it was already getting discounted. And
that's
then
like a fucking Ubisoft game.
Yeah. Like, and then 3 months in, it was being steeply discounted. So I'm like, fuck you, man. Part two has got $20 by Christmas written all over it. I'm not buying that shit until it's $20. Cause I want to do is play the single player and I'll fuck around in the multiplayer. If I have friends who are playing,
I will totally do space battles with you.
Yeah.
Like, I will totally do space battles with you.
I mean, that's what I did with the first game. I only played if my brother or Gene were on, and it was fun then, but by yourself, it was just like, this is fucking pointless, because it's very much a game where it behooves you to work together. And as you know, playing with the public, even in a team-based game, that's hardly ever the case.
Right.
And so all you end up doing is running around by yourself in this huge fucking map.
Right.
And occasionally you run up on somebody and you might get the drop, you might get the kill, and they might get the kill, and who the fuck knows. And you're hoping to pick up a token that turns you into fucking Boba Fett.
Right.
That's it.
Now you're hoping to get a loot box that turns into Boba Fett.
Right. So, yeah, I'll definitely be waiting for the price drop that is guaranteed to be here by the new year.
And what's, you know, for me, I agree with you. Like, the first one, we got it to do, like, the multiplayer, like, when we were trying to, you know, when we were doing the video.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoyed, like, the little co-op things.
Yeah, the missions were fun.
Like, I thought those were fun. I would love to do that type of thing. But the single-player story doesn't sound like it's that long.
No.
And what's frustrating is you got to assume, like, you know, if you were the people who worked, like, on the single-player side, excuse me, to then kind of have that taken away. Now, granted, you know, Battlefront was always going to be a multiplayer game that had a single player story to address the criticisms of the first one.
Right.
But still, you would hate to have your work, like, people are kind of ignoring it because, you know, the bean counters at EA decided to, you know, I was reading, you know, folks paid $80 for the one edition, and then they would have to spend, you know, 40 hours playing to unlock Darth Vader.
Right.
Which for me would be a waste because I would be like, dun, 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 and then one blaster shot and I'd be dead. I'd be like, no. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, okay.
So and I always thought that no single player campaign was an interesting critique or an interesting thing for everybody to get so bent out of shape of when they did the new Battlefront, because the original two Battlefront games didn't have campaigns. I mean, they did. They called it a campaign, but all they were bot matches.
Yeah, but I think, though, you know, I think the thing is, like, it's fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I'm just saying, like, if it wasn't there originally, why are you surprised when the new one comes out and it's not there? Like,
I don't know if so much is it surprise or is it like, dudes, like, how much, like, what the fuck? You know, like.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, like, you had LucasArts pumping out game after game, so if you wanted a single-player Star Wars experience, you had that opportunity back then.
Right.
Whereas now, we sort of don't, and I guess people are wanting all of it.
And Battlefront always kind of advertised itself as you will play through these pivotal moments of Star Wars.
That's
but
true.
You won't, because right. it's multiplayer. And right. if you suck, what's going to happen is you're going to play 5 seconds of a pivotal moment in Star Wars right. and some low-level grunt
yep.
who does the fucking Wilhelm yell and then dies. That's not a pivotal. People go, oh, shit, I'm going to be... You know, I'm going to be flying the Millennium Falcon through the asteroid field. You know, I'm going to be taking down an AT-AT on Hoth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be fucking whatever. Like, I'm going to be doing a trench run. No, you're not. What you're going to do is you're going to die quickly and often as yep. Carl, you know, the reservist. And that is not, I think, what people want when they play a game that yeah. advertises itself as dropping you into Star Wars.
That is true.
And it's just like, you know, when Luke Skywalker shows up and he murders everybody
mm-hmm.
and you're like, all right, well, that would have been nice to see in Jedi, you know, like, you know, that rebellion or whatever, the Empire would have been done. And like, they would have been like, we're just going to drop Luke onto the surface of the Death Star and he's going to kill everybody. And I'd be like, okay, sweet. You know, so I can understand. And also, I mean, Disney's not stupid. They're going to be like, wait a minute, you had this opportunity to make new licensed characters from which we could spin other things all this time,
right.
and you didn't? Like, nobody's asking for a long campaign, 5 hours, done. Like,
yeah.
just
yeah.
fucking, you know, make a badass. Here's what you need to do. Get a morally ambiguous main character, get a robot who's murderous but with a sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
throw in an alien, and you're done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, Star Wars ships.
Star Wars ships, right. And here's your levels. Corridor shooter, 5 minutes out in space, corridor shooter, maybe a battle, climactic end, roll credits, multiplayer loot box.
Yep.
As 50 Cent, you know, as you know, Tony Banks said, whatever, fucking sit back and watch the money pile up.
Like, yep.
I mean, it's not hard. I mean,
right.
Jesus. Anyway, so, but I want to play it, so we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
And then, you know, I do want to do the space battles. I don't see that going well for me, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, we'll ride or die together.
Goddamn right, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd be like, I'm going to do a bombing run. I need you to cover me. Oh, you're dead? All right, cool. No, it's cool. This thing handles
exactly
like
how it'll
like
go.
A dump truck in space, but I'm sure I can hit that target. How big's that? 5 inches? Awesome. Got it. Oh, he's level 900. He's in the Enterprise. All right, cool. I can do this.
You draw his fire. Yeah. Like, okay.
That 13-year-old's been playing this for 130 hours straight, and he has a Star Destroyer. But no, this is cool.
Yeah. I got an A-Wing. Let's go.
I got an A-Wing and some bottle rockets.
Yep.
I'm going to totally take him down the Death Star. All right, so Thor as Guardians of the Galaxy. We both saw it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to hear your opinion because after our Guardians of the Galaxy 2 podcast, I have no idea. Like, I have no earthly. I left that movie and I texted you pretty much immediately. Because I had no clue.
No, all right. So, just to put this out there, like as I like to do beforehand, huge fan of the director. Huge
yes.
fan. Huge
yes.
fan. What We Do in the Shadows is one of the funniest fucking things I have seen since Spaceballs. Like,
yes.
I love What We Do in the Shadows.
I made my wife watch that movie.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, we need to watch this because this movie is great.
Yes, it is fantastic. All right, so that being said, I was a fan of the humor
mm-hmm.
of Ragnarok, but ultimately, even based on the trailers and my expectations being set somewhat low by the trailers, because I felt like it was just them trying to put Thor into a Guardians of the Galaxy type of film, I still came away somewhat disappointed, but I enjoyed it more than, I don't know, I expected to, based on my initial reaction to the trailer.
Now, when you say disappointed, so if you And that's what I was curious about, because I know that you weren't a fan of the trailer. So I guess if you weren't a fan of the trailer, then what? And to me, I would think that anything that was good, you would be pleasantly surprised. So what was what?
So here's, like, without us getting, because are we going to do the plot at all? Or are we going to get
into, we can get into all of it. Yeah, okay. Morris. Yeah, I'm absolutely.
So my thing was, all right, so transitioning from Star Wars. So Return of the Jedi, to me, is the they did that the perfect way to do two majorly different things happening in one movie. It's like that movie almost plays like two movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has the Jabba the Hutt stuff on, you know, the Jabba stuff, and then we have the Endor stuff.
Right.
That is perfect to me. What disappointed me with Ragnarok was you had two relatively interesting aspects of a movie, right?
Yeah.
You introduce one at the start.
Yep.
Then you almost completely go away from it.
Yeah.
And you do this other sort of interesting thing.
Yeah.
And then you have to rush through.
Yes.
What I thought was
up. My hands up. My head down.
I mean, I'm like, fucking Marvel finally has a villain I care about. I want to see more of. And they're like, oh, no, but guess what? Jeff Goldblum's a weird fucking trippy space hippie. And here's Thor and the Hulk punching each other in the arm.
I was like, do I want to sleep with more? Hell or the Grandmaster? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe they should sleep with each other and I'll just watch.
Exactly. Like, oh my God. It's like they knew. They knew they had me, but they just could not allow me to enjoy a Marvel movie. I was just like, you motherfuckers.
I think that is a very I think that is a very good criticism. Because I agree with you, like, you know, I thought that when they kind of brought, when they, you know, introduced Hela, I was just like, oh shit, like her, this idea of like, how the fuck you think Asgard got to where it is? And that's true, right? Like, there's no kingdoms built on peace.
No.
You don't waltz into somebody else's territory and be like, hey, how about we farm together? No, you fucking kill them and you make them, you just, in, you know, you consume them. So to have this, you know, this woman, this like warrior who, you know, did all the hard work and then they want to be like, well, we kind of have a rep we're trying to uphold. So we're just going to literally plaster over our history. I thought, God damn, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and she's just like, fuck that. I'm ready to rock.
Yeah, I am pissed off.
Right. And then you go to Sakaar and you're like, well, shit, this is a totally different thing, but this is cool too.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that is and I was trying to figure out like what my own issues were with it. I think that's it, because I agree with you 100%.
I mean, I was like, oh, it's so disjointed the way it plays out, and I get that it almost sort of has to a little bit, because, you know, the whole thing with him getting kicked out of the Rainbow Bridge or whatever, and he ends up on the planet and this and that. But, you know, I'm like, you know what, if you want to do a Ragnarok movie and you want to do a Contest of Champions movie, sign me the fuck up.
Right.
I'm fine with that. But, like, don't ignore one while I don't know, man. I don't know what I wanted out of it, because it's almost impossible to do it the way Jedi does, where like, oh, we're doing this first, then that, because you need Hela at the start. But I don't know. It was just two really good things, and I just didn't like the way they smashed them together.
I mean, I think the execution, though, I think they executed it as well as they could, given that clearly, like, I'd be curious to know, you know, essentially, like, where the, I don't know how Marvel works, so if this was a situation where they were like, I mean, we knew even back as far as Avengers 2, like, that was that whole stupid Thor goes to the pool scene. It's because Marvel was like, we need to set up Ragnarok.
Right.
So we, you know, when they, how does Marvel do things? Do they say, we're going to do this story, and then they find a director to do it? I don't know. So
that's my guess. I guess, because I think the sort of timeline they've already got set out.
Well, I know that they have the timeline set out in terms of like, this is phase two, this is phase three, and we're all working towards, you know, an Infinity War type of thing or whatever. But right. I don't, how much leeway
Right.
Do they have to, in between those lanes, and then how much input does the director have in terms of what the story is going to
and see,
be?
That's what I, because that's what I think almost, I think that while the directors certainly have their own sort of traits, like Kevin Smith talked about when we saw him directing an episode of The Flash or Supergirl. He's like, I'm just there to say go, and I go get everybody a cheeseburger. Like, I don't know, like you're saying, like, I don't know how much leeway they're given. Like, I think that James Gunn probably can do whatever the fuck he wants at this point, because he took a property that, sure, it exists in the Marvel Universe, but that could have easily been left off on its own thing.
Oh, yeah, and it can continue to do its own thing.
Right.
Because of the way, like, they can have, they've said that, you know, Guardians are going to be in, it's all going to come together in Infinity War, but the reality is, they don't have to.
No, exactly.
If they don't want to, they could just be like, they could just kind of have them off doing their own thing
and you know,
whatever.
And I can't help but wonder if initially that was sort of the thing, but then when they became as popular as they were, like, well, holy shit, let's bring them in with the rest of this shit. You know what I mean? Like, let's make it all one big pot. Because then we bring in the people who maybe didn't love Avengers but love that. Well, they got to see Infinity War now.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. So, I don't know how much leeway, because I can't imagine that, maybe he's a big comic book geek. I don't know, but I mean, I can't just see like Taika sitting down and reading.
No. But I think that, you know, I think he definitely, what he brought to this movie was, and what was in, you know, What We Do in the Shadows, is this idea of, you know, these kind of different elements all coming together, like living together, like the, you know what I mean? Like What We Do in the Shadows is hilarious because of the different personalities at play.
Right.
And how not only does he play with the different, like, vampire, like, stereotypes, but how those personalities play off each other, that you can have, you know, a vampire who is also the roommate who's always a slob, or the roommate who's always like, well, I'm doing more chores than you. And I think that's what, you know, when they decided, whoever decided that Ragnarok is going to be, it's going to do a lot of different things, but at its heart, it's a buddy movie.
Yeah.
You know, it is Thor and the Hulk, essentially, you know, kind of going on this cosmic adventure together.
Right.
And that's why I think he was such a good choice for it, because he, you know, in his movies, he really does kind of, you know, it's that interpersonal stuff and the little, you know, kind of the little details around those relationships that he does a good job of kind of like making fun of.
Right.
But at the same time, I agree with you that there was so much, like, I don't want to say that they wasted potential, but you would wish that if, like, I don't know, if they had just focused on the Hela stuff, I don't know if that would have been as compelling a movie as opposed to if they went, like, all in on Planet Hulk, just making it more Thor-centric.
Right.
I think that could have easily have sustained its own movie.
Sure. And honestly, man, they could have, it doesn't make sense with the timeline they're doing, but a Contest of Champions movie would be really fucking good.
See, I don't know that one. What's that one?
That's sort of, so Contest of Champions, I think they've done two or three, but basically it's like the, whoever Goldblum was, the Grandmaster, he basically like kidnaps all the heroes and villains and makes them fight it out, like in this gladiatorial arena for the enjoyment of different aliens that he has that come and watch. It's basically what happened in this movie.
So it's like Secret Wars.
It's exactly.
Instead, like the Beyond are just kind of, instead of like the Beyond are being the person who like wants to see it all or whatever.
Right. Grandmaster kidnaps people and they fight it out, this and that. Like, you know, and that works as a movie. It's just, it's a sidestep to what they're working towards. So they really can't do that at this point. But, you know, it would have worked. I don't know that it was a Thor movie, but, it, you know, it could have worked in some capacity.
Now, how did you feel, though, about Planet Hulk essentially getting turned into a Thor movie? Because I know you're a Planet Hulk fan. I read it. I really enjoyed it. I didn't feel, though, that as, like, I don't think, I loved the Edward Norton Hulk movie. I thought it was great.
I did, too.
But I don't feel like anybody would have gone to a Planet Hulk movie.
No, I don't either, because nobody went
by itself.
Nobody went to the Edward Norton Hulk or the one before it.
Well, that's but they didn't go to the Edward Norton Hulk because the Eric Bana Hulk movie sucked.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true, because people were – I think there was genuine excitement around that until it came out, and everybody was like, what the fuck was this?
Yeah, these are – wait, are these actually, like, dogs? Like, they're,
right.
They're Hulk dogs? And, like I mean, and that wasn't, like – I mean, that it's not like you had, like, you know, fucking, like, Mickey Rourke and kind of post-crazy where you're like, it's cool to have Mickey Rourke. I mean,
right.
Like, you know, like – I don't know how long it had been since. What the hell is his name? Who is his dad in the movie? Shit, I always forget his name. Nick Nolte.
That's right. It was like Nick Nolte.
Drunk in the pool. Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
You know, like. but anyway.
But no, I'm okay with. It didn't really bother me. Like, I don't know, because I know that I'm never going to get a Planet Hulk movie. So, the fact that there was even a nod to Planet Hulk. That's fine. Like, I would rather have had a Planet Hulk movie, but I don't see that ever happening. So I was fine with – I thought it was pretty cool to have Hulk be the champion that comes out in the fucking gladiator gear and shit. And I love the fight. The fight scene was great.
I thought the fight scene was great too. But again, like, I understand from a comedic standpoint to want to put some of that stuff in the trailer.
Yeah.
But if you went into this movie not knowing that that was Hulk
who was
going to break out, like when that happened, you would have been like – holy shit.
I would have been jumping out of my seat. I'd have been so excited, man.
Why would you put, like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I do and I don't.
Yeah, same here. Yep.
Because, you know, you're like, okay, we got to get butts and chairs.
Right.
And we're trying to explain we're trying to explain where Thor was during Civil War.
Right.
Hulk was also not there.
Right.
So, you know, it makes sense. But at the same time, like, that moment and that joke.
Yeah.
If you hadn't seen it beforehand,
yep.
They could have still shown you that Hulk was in this movie and
right.
not shown that moment.
Yep. I agree completely. The only thing, you know, and maybe it's, I think that, maybe the last Thor movie being as received as poorly as it was, maybe. And they were like, well, holy shit, we're trying to get people to watch another Thor movie. And people
that
really
very well be, yeah.
did not like the last. I did. I did too.
I'd like to watch it again, but I feel like, I mean, it's, you know what, it's the same. You know, Marvel has a villain problem. It's always some big cosmic thing that always has some MacGuffin that it's trying to get, and it's going to, you know, destroy the world.
Right.
You know, I think the reason why Winter Soldier people like it as much as it did and it was successful as it was, is it wasn't like, you know, some intergalactic or whatever cosmic thing trying to find some geometric bauble. It was right. like, okay, this is, you know, this is a terrorist organization infiltrating the United States government at the highest levels of power and basically trying to subvert the will of the American people.
Right.
Like, that's a lot different than Ultron, how different was Ultron from the elves in
Dark World,
Thor 2,
right?
You know, from, you know, maybe Loki and Thor in Avengers 1,
right?
You know what I mean? It's just like you've always got this big bad who's just like, I just want to destroy the world,
right?
You know, and you know, kind of what makes it different is, you know, if you can change up kind of how the villain is, that helps. I don't know where the hell I was going with that.
No, you're absolutely correct. Like, it's Captain America. He's boots on the ground. Yes,
right.
When the big end of the world shit is going down, you want him there. But at the end of the day, Captain America is very much a boots on the ground hero, and he needs that type of villain also.
Right, right.
And
so
there's a lack of that.
Right, and so I understand why people didn't like Thor 2, but I think the moment-to-moment stuff in Thor 2 I think is really good.
I do, too.
It's just that if you can kind of get around the almost Marvel cookie-cutter villain and their motivations, there's actually a lot to like there.
Yep.
And they tried to do that here. Like, I mean, because the Grandmaster, he was like, he's not trying to take over the world. He's just like, I own this planet, and I want people to fight for me.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
It was hella that was like, okay. And even, you know, and I think it worked in some regards because she's not trying to take over Earth.
Yeah.
She's trying to take over Asgard, which is slightly, you know, slightly different. But I did think it was interesting, though, how quickly they did kind of get rid of some things. They're like the Warriors 3. It's like two of them gone.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. Like, you know, I guess they're pushing that whole Ragnarok thing, the end of Asgard and everything, but it didn't have to happen that fast. Like, she just wrecked shit.
Yeah, but, you know, you wonder how much of that is actually going to stick around, because, I mean, they are gods. So,
right.
You know, you could make the case that, all right, well, we're not dead. We're not totally dead.
Right.
They seem pretty dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? they seem fairly dead. I think, I was surprised at how quickly they were just like, you're dead, he's dead.
Yeah.
You know, and then at least the other guy, he got to fight a little bit, like Jackie Chan there or whatever.
Right. Yeah. One more time.
I just remember from the first Thor movie, you're like, we've got, you know, Ren Fair, Jackie Chan, Xena the Warrior Princess. I was surprised at how, and I mean, I think that's a big part though of this movie is how much they're willing to kind of shake up what it means in the Marvel universe, like what Asgard means and the kind of the status quo. And I don't know if there's a reason to do that for, you know, the Infinity War, other than just like, well, we need a reason why, you know, from the post-credit scene, we need a reason for, you know, this ship to have been kind of captured by Thanos Thanos or however the hell you pronounce it.
Yeah.
But I do like that, you know, they were kind of able, they wanted to kind of mix things up to say, all right, well, you know, we're going to just blow up Asgard. We're not going to try to save it.
Right.
You know, at the end of this thing, like, you know, for all we know, Hela is still around.
Yeah.
She, you know, we don't know that she died. Surtur could have been, she could have killed him. He could have killed her. Who knows?
Yep.
But Asgard's not around anymore. So I did like that they were kind of willing to mix things up. You know, the question is whether or not how consequential it is, because, you know, Asgard, you know, it's not like it's that big of a deal to most of the things, that affect the Marvel universe. I think Asgard is, you know, it's kind of low on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of does its own thing most of the time.
Right, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you're like, we're going to totally destroy Asgard, it's like, well, that's nice. When they totally destroyed Sokovia, you're like, okay. You know, you know, it's not a real place, right? Like, like, if I'm supposed to be really moved by that, I'm kind of not. And they're like, don't worry, it's going to play into another movie. You're like, oh, okay, cool.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha. I'll try to remember.
Right. Exactly. So, but I think all in all, like, I was, you know, I was a little, I don't know if concern's the right word going into it, but, you know, I didn't, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I liked it, but I wasn't one of my favorites. In fact, I would kind of put it as one of my least favorites of all the Marvel movies. And I was a little concerned, you know, that this would end up being more of that type of thing. And I like the director too, and I love What We Do in the Shadows. You know, but I also don't, you know, necessarily want another Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Like, I feel like that series has its place, that, you know, those movies have its place. But I still really liked it. So
yeah.
I was glad that, you know, I enjoyed it. Well, you know, we'll kind of see. I don't know what it means for the rest of the Marvel universe, but, you know.
Honestly, like, I you know, I still, like, everybody wants to do their order and all this shit, and I have no idea. I have no idea how to put the Marvel movies in order for myself. I can tell you that I fully expect Black Panther to blow my fucking socks off. Like, I can't
wait
for that.
Black Panther's going to fucking kick ass.
Yeah.
Like, my wife is like, I have no interest, and I'm like, why?
What?
What the fuck is, like, and I think for her, you know, I think for her it has to do, I don't know. I watch that that trailer and I'm like, I don't see what there is not to get excited about.
No, I know.
Like, I genuinely don't. you know, I'm like, but, you know, whatever. So,
yep.
And I mean, that's the next one, right? Like, we don't really have anything until after that.
Right. Yeah. As far as I know.
So we'll see. So anything else that you've seen? I haven't really, I can get into, American Horror Story, but you said you watch Mayhem, and what is that?
Yeah, it's that movie with Glenn from The Walking Dead that Joe Lynch directed it.
I don't even know
if I've seen it. Okay, so
Glenn, okay.
And it's got the babysitter from The Babysitter's in it.
Okay.
And it's a really fun movie. It's sort of a, if you've seen 28 Days Later,
uh-huh,
and you've seen the Belko experiment,
mm-hmm,
it's a mixture of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm just going to call him Glenn because Steve doesn't sound right, and I can't remember the character's name in the movie. So Glenn is this lawyer at this huge law firm, and of course they're shady as fuck, and he's basically being blackmailed, or not blackmailed, but being made the scapegoat in this huge cover up where they're fucking this other major company out of a lot of money. And they're like, oh man, we dropped the ball here, and we're going to blame this guy down here on floor 2. 'Cause we're up here on floor 60, you know, the fat cats upstairs. Right. And he's like, well, that's fucking bullshit, because he's super, you know, anal retentive. He's like very OCD about his shit. Like, he has all his dots, his I's, crosses his T's, everything else. And he knows he's being fucked. At the same time all this is going on, there's this virus that's going around that it's like, I forget what they called it, but basically it removes any moral compass whatsoever. So if you're mad, you're full on fucking rage. You know, if you're lust, then you're fucking the next thing you can find. It's like, it just turns people sort of animalistic, and it's about him trying to make it to the top floor. Because he wants to confront, he calls them the 9, but it's like this, it's like the board that they are all on this floor that you can only access if you have this specific key card and all this other shit. And sort of, it becomes this sort of Belko experiment thing where all these lawyers and office people are trying to murder each other or fuck each other or, you know, do whatever. And, it's 80 minutes. It goes by really fast. It's gory. It's hyper violent. And it's funny, like it's comedy, but it's actually really good. But it's
that,
like,
sounds right up my alley. Like, yeah, I'm not hearing anything. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, it's a really fun movie.
Uh-huh.
So definitely recommend checking that out. It just hit VOD like last weekend.
Okay,
so I was like, well, holy shit, I love Joe Lynch. I got to see this. And so, anyway.
That name sounds really familiar. Where do I know that name?
He did Everly. He did one of the skits on Chillerama. He's best friends with Adam Green. They did that show Holliston together.
Okay. The name sounds really familiar, but okay. And I mean, obviously I think Glenn made the right choice. You know, I think it probably
he was
like, I don't get to be on Walking Dead anymore, but
man,
dude, they fucking did you a favor. Holy shit.
Steve Yeun, whatever.
Yeah.
He was so good in this movie. He was so good. Like, it is really a fun movie.
He certainly, you know, didn't leave anything behind in Walking Dead. Holy shit.
Yeah. One of the most horrific exits from a television show of all time.
Yeah, followed by the most boring season.
Yeah.
Like, it's war. It's boring. Like, you know, war is hell. No, war is boring. Like, we managed to make war boring. Didn't know we could do that, but we did it.
War is hell. This is boring.
Yeah, right. Holy shit. I kind of watched that, you know, I watched the show, and I mean, this last episode I thought was okay, but I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, why the zombie, like the radioactive, what? I don't get, what the fuck is going on?
I don't think they know anymore.
I don't think they knew either. I'm like, can we just end it? Can we just, like, zombies win?
Yeah, they've almost caught up to the comic. They're getting dangerously close at this point. So it's like, well, let's just end it. It's over.
Yeah, that would be nice if they could do that.
Yep.
Well, real quick, so I finally finished today. I finally finished American Horror Story Cult. And this might be the episode, the season that gets me to stop watching.
Yeah, I was going to say, your Purple Heart's in the mail.
American Horror Story. I understand what they're trying to do, and maybe, you know, maybe the election's just still, even a year past, is still a little fresh in the mind. I just didn't like it.
Mm-mm.
Like, I just didn't like it. And oh, then... Dear. Yeah, but I watched the whole thing.
Right.
You know, the quote-unquote twist at the end, I mean, in terms of, like, you know, being a show about a cult,
right?
Like, I get it, but I don't know. What was, you know, missing for me was still the kind of traditional horror aspect.
Right.
I mean, it was gory at times, and, like, the clowns were kind of creepy. But in terms of, like, an actual, like, horror story, I guess if the horror story is supposed to be, like, people in power are scary and they will fuck you over.
Right.
It's like, well, no shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, like, I mean, as horrifying as that is, that's still just, you know, kind of life.
Right. It's like... I watch television to escape real life. Like,
yeah, no shit. And that was, you know, honestly, that was a lot of it where I was like, okay, well, I guess, but I think, and maybe that's what it was. And maybe if you were to watch this like a couple years removed,
right,
you know, it would be more effective.
Right.
But for me, I was just like, ugh, no, like I'm afraid somebody's going to watch a show and get some ideas.
Exactly.
Not in terms of killing people, but in terms of like policies of this fuckers.
Yeah.
And then they did try to, like, excuse me, like, throw, not a twist, but they did try to make it seem like they were, I don't know what the right word is, but, like, almost like they were kind of justifying Kai there, the bad guy, like, justifying his actions in a way that was somewhat different from what he had shown up until this point, and this was like maybe one or two episodes ago, and it still really didn't. I mean, it just really didn't work. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, I guess, like maybe this. I don't know if this is supposed to make you. I don't know if it was supposed to make you more sympathetic or just make it so that people kind of felt more like they understood why you were doing what you were doing.
Right,
but. I was really disappointed in it. I kind of hoped it had been better, and I don't know.
Yeah, I was too. Big time.
I don't know if I would watch another season, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, that whole, like, we're going to just throw everything against the wall and see what sticks, like, that works up to a point.
Right.
But if you know, it only takes you so far.
Yeah. Well, and the inconsistency of the show itself, eventually people are going to stop giving it a chance.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see, you know, kind of ratings wise how
right.
it was.
Right.
And I think I give them a lot of credit because, you know, they didn't have to kind of go the election route. They could have just said, you know what, we're not going to do it because it's kind of too close to home, so to speak. And maybe it would just be safer to not.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. So,
we'll see. But for me, you know, kind of nothing, you know, I mean, Justice League is the next big thing. And then I think,
yeah.
you know, Star Wars would definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Would definitely be the next thing for me.
Same here.
So and then as far as games, you know, I don't know. We'll just kind of I'm going to keep on with Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
I still play Shadows of Mordor on my own. And then Mario Odyssey, and we'll kind of see what kind of comes from here. I think Battlefront, I think there's like a Xenoblade game that's coming out for the Switch.
Yeah.
But I think Battlefront was like the last kind of big thing for this year. I mean, I'd like to play the Call of Duty game. I don't really care too much about going back to World War II.
Right.
But shit, at this point, I've played so many of them. At some point, I'll probably run it.
Yeah, I will. I'll do the campaign. When it's, you know, when it's time for the next one to come out next year, I'll buy this one.
See, I always just rent them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just send them back and
yeah.
move on with my life. So
yeah.
But, yeah, so we're getting to the end of the year, which means we're going to have to go through the very difficult process of figuring out game of the year.
Yep.
And I can tell you that if you are, you know, available to make use of the various Black Friday deals.
Man.
You know, Wolfenstein 2 for $30. Holy shit.
25, dude. 25 at Best Buy.
Get two copies.
Yeah.
Send exactly. one to a friend.
Exactly.
I think Nier Automata is going to be 30 yep. bucks or 35.
Yep. That one, there's...
Fucking buy that game.
What else?
That is still, I think that might be my favorite game this year.
God, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it on Black Friday, just based off your recommendation, actually.
I'm going to do my annual Assassin's Creed Black Friday buy. Nier Automata, you know, pick that up. If you haven't already played Horizon Zero Dawn, you can get it right now.
Yes.
Like today from Best Buy for $20.
Yeah.
If you have the Gamers Club unlocked, it'll cost you $16. It will be the best $16 or $20 you've spent in
Absolutely.
Quite a long time.
Yeah, that's a must play.
But it's going to be really tough. It's going to be tough to pick movies, and it's going to be tough to pick games. We're going to have to fucking get started early.
Yeah.
December might have to be like the month of best ofs.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine with me.
If we try to do it in one show, we're going to be all right.
That's not
going to
work.
4 hours later.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
But yeah, so definitely, you know, Black Friday's coming. There's a lot of good deals, and you can get a lot of them online. So, you know, certainly take advantage of it.
Yeah, I was going to say
already.
Please send a message to Best Buy and these people who have these poor employees at work on Thanksgiving. You know, the Amazon's going to price match 99% of it. Just buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, and don't go out on Thanksgiving. Exactly. Like, I know, like that's the thing I think that bothers me the most. Like, I understand Black Friday. Black Friday's kind of been a thing for a while.
Right.
But, you know, in the past few years, this idea of being like, okay, we're going to have doorbusters at noon on Thursday. Like,
yeah.
I understand that, like, sometimes you're just kind of sitting around for the turkey to cook.
Yeah.
But there are people that are working.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you could argue, like, well, they decide they want to. They kind of want or need the money. And I get that, but that's a separate conversation as to why they feel like they have to work on Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
to make ends meet. But, but like Mitch said, just whatever. They're going to price match. Stay home, eat some turkey,
mm-hmm.
you know, watch some football, and just buy that shit on Monday. but for us, definitely, you know, I hope you have everybody has a great Thanksgiving and a safe one, and then you can see your family and friends and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And we will return in 2 weeks with Justice League Tales and who knows what else. Like I said, we might need to start getting into the best of stuff at that point. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode 35. And as always, we appreciate you hanging out. And we hope you will be with us in the next couple weeks. So for the both of us, have a great Thanksgiving. And we will see you soon. So good night and have a good evening.